the forging of a leader, how Joshua got trained. I got 6 points, and I'm going to get through them. You all get on the hill walking and all that. Won't be a problem. Joshua chapter 11, and verse 15. Bible says, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. Yeah. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truths that we've heard so far, and Lord, there's just more to come, and my heart is just enlarged, Lord. It's just open. I just want more, Father, and I'm so thankful, Father, for the men of God that are here, all of the men that are here. And, Father, I just pray that you just work in our hearts, drive these truths home, Lord, that we don't walk out of here and not apply them to our lives. We'd be fools, Father. So I pray, Lord, you just work in our hearts, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you don't have a life verse, here it is right here. This is a great verse, is it not? As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. Man, that's what I want to be. I want to be a Joshua. Amen. I want to be a servant to the servant of God. I just want to do whatever God wants me to do. And that's what Joshua did. And it says he left nothing undone. Amen. That all the Lord had commanded Moses to do. So if you're working under somebody or you got the man of God in the pulpit there and you want to help them, that's a good thing.
Amen.
That's a Joshua. And don't leave anything undone that God's commanded him to do. You help him complete that task. I really believe that's why God called me to Ireland, is to get under the leadership of Pastor Ledbetter and to work with him. I mean, I've said it before, I could have gone anywhere, but this is where God wants me. And I'm willing to be a Joshua right here. I just want to serve the servant, amen? And I just think I'm right where God wants me to be. You know, Joshua became a consummate leader, just a consummate leader, the best leader, but he wasn't born that way. He was made. He was trained to lead. And when you got saved, God began to prepare you for leadership the moment you got saved. In fact, before you got saved, there were things the Lord may have used to forge you as a leader, but now for his purposes and for his glory, not for your own. You may have had some leadership qualities before you got saved when you're in your employment or on your job. Maybe you grew up and you're always the one that took the lead, and the others always followed you when you went out to play or did something on the field. God wasn't surprised by any of the abilities that you have. John, you have an ability for music. And God's not surprised by that. He wants to use it for his glory. And others have abilities, and God knows that, and he wants to use them for his glory, though, now. He gave them to you. And God's looking for some men to take the lead in the church today. He's not looking for women. He's not looking for Deborahs. He's looking for Joshua. He's looking for men to lead in the church. We don't need women teaching the Sunday schools, all the Sunday school classes, and working in all the Bible clubs and doing all the soul winning and singing and praying that men ought to be doing.
Yeah.
Men ought to be teaching the young boys in the Sunday school, not women.
Mm-hmm.
Those boys need to see men.
Yes, sir.
They need to have some examples before them. And I'm talking about all the way down the line and all the different facets of the church work. It should be men that are taking the lead. 1 Corinthians 16:15 says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Hey, you talk about an addiction. I had one for a lot of years, but this is the addiction I want now. I want to be addicted to serving God. I want it to be something I can't get away from. If I do try to get away from it, I'll just feel bad. You know, I just want to be addicted to serving God. And that's the addiction I do have. I just want to serve the Lord. I'm not addicted to video games. I'm not addicted to the TV. I'm not addicted to sports and cars and all that stuff. And if some of you are, then you're addicted to the wrong things. Because those things have no eternal value whatsoever. Only what you do for Christ will ever last. Keep your eyes on the Lord and don't worry about those other things. You know, the leaders in the church and those getting called to preach shouldn't come out of Bible colleges. They should come out of local New Testament Baptist churches. And they should be trained by men who are in the battle right now, by pastors. Now, look, if you went to Bible college, great. I mean, that's fine. But you know what? You don't have to go to Bible college to preach and pastor. You don't have to. But you should get your training right in the local church by the man of God. You know, people are going to hell while we while away the hours doing everything but what God's called us to do. And that's a shame. And there's still pastors that are shuffling papers in the office way too much when they should be out knocking on doors and visiting. Come on, you know it. So look, we need to realize that Acts 5:42, it says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." If we can produce leaders, we will multiply ourselves instead of just adding to ourselves. There's a difference there. If I just win a person to the Lord and don't disciple them and train them to win somebody else, then I got to go win somebody else and win somebody else. I just have a line of people behind me. Yeah. But once I train that person to go out and multiply themselves, they go win somebody, and I go win somebody else. And then they train somebody, and they win somebody, and they win somebody else, and they just keep multiplying. Yeah. We branch out. That's what Christianity is supposed to be. Yeah. I'm not supposed to have a line of people behind me. I want to train them and keep them moving out. And train in other people. Commit thou a faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. It's going to take discipleship, and it's going to take hard work, and it's going to take leadership on our part to produce Joshuas. Somebody spent a lot of time with me to produce what I hope is a Joshua. Somebody that just wants to serve the servant of God. And if God wants me to take the lead, I'll do whatever God asks me to do. But I'm very content to serve the servant. Amen. The same hard work and commitment, though, needs to be on the part of every man in here. You need to want what God wants for your life, and He's got more for you than just sitting in the pew. He wants you to do something for Him. Sadly, those in ministry often neglect to actively seek and train men.
That's right.
You ought to be looking for men in your church. You see the Spirit of God on them. They're eager to do something. You ought to put your finger on them and train them and spend some time with them. That's hard work. You spend a lot of time training one person. But it'll all pay off. All through the scriptures, we see this mandate for about the next generation. Elijah cast his mantle over Elisha. Paul taught Timothy. And certainly Jesus Christ with his 12 apostles. And we have the clearest example in Moses passing the baton on to Joshua. And every New Testament Baptist church should have men in training.
Amen.
How do you forge a leader? Well, let's look at the life of Joshua. Why did God choose Joshua? What was in his character? And how was he trained? Joshua, first of all, had the right heart and spirit for leadership. Look at Numbers chapter 27. Numbers 27. Numbers 27 and verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd, which be as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him." You see, Moses is getting ready to pass the mantle. Moses asked God to find him a man to lead the sheep, to take the helm, to get ready to take the wheel of the ship. And that's what, and God said, go find Joshua. And put his, he's a man who has the Spirit in him. And a leader must be a man whose relationship with God is first, and it's the best relationship that he has. Joshua loved God. Joshua just loved God. And he was serving God by serving Moses. And Joshua had a spirit like Joseph did when Pharaoh said, "Can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Wouldn't you like to be that man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, if you're saved here today, you have the Spirit of God in you.
That's right.
But can your pastor see that? Can he see that the Holy Spirit of God has complete control of your life? That every day that you wake up, and whether you're in the home or whether you come to church or whether it's time for soul winning, that the Spirit of God is moving in you, that the man of God can see that. That you're yielded to Christ and you're ready to serve Him. No matter what he wants you to do. Daniel chapter 6 verse 2 says, Daniel had an excellent spirit upon him. That's what I want. And that's what you ought to want. An excellent spirit. So that people can see that. What? To glorify you? To snap your suspenders? No. So that they glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man of God, the pastor of the church that you're serving can see that. And he puts his hand on you and begins to, "Hey, I'm going to mold that man. I'm going to train that man." That's what Moses was asking for. Show me, Lord. Give me somebody that can take over. What spirit do you have today? And if God was to walk in here right now, could he find a Joshua in here?
Yeah.
Could he find somebody that has the Spirit on him and is ready to serve God? Hey, is God first in your life? Is God first in your life? I hope there is nothing that you love more than Jesus Christ. You know, I dealt with this one time at a men's prayer retreat, and we studied the life of Jeremiah, the call of Jeremiah, and I realized that there was something between me and the Lord, and it was my wife. I realized that if God called me, would I just listen to God, or would I go say, honey, the Lord's calling us to the mission field, or the Lord wants us to do this? Or would I just commit myself that I'm going to do what you want me to do, God, and I know that you'll speak to my wife, and I'm just going to obey you. I had to decide who was first in my life. Sometimes the person that's dearest and you love the most is between you and God, and it can't be that way, my friend. If you're the man of the house, if you're the husband in the home, you're calling the shots, then nothing could be between you and God. He has to be first in your life. You have to make the decision, and your wife will follow. You have to make the decision. And you all have some decisions in here you know you have to make. Make them. Amen. If God's telling you to make that decision, just do it and trust Him. My wife got on board, and we came to Ireland after working for 34 years in the government as a crane operator and a rigger. I'm retired, and I come to Ireland. She had to figure this out in her head. First, when I got into the bus ministry, I said, honey, we're not only teaching the Sunday school class and going soul winning, and we're in the choir and we're doing discipleship, and now I think the Lord wants me to do the bus ministry. She said, oh, no, we're not. I said, well, I am. So I went down to Walkertown, North Carolina, and went to Bobby Robinson Church, and we learned how to do the bus ministry. And when I came back, I got a bus, and I started going out. And she got on the bus the first day. She did follow me. She got on the bus the first day. I had like 23 kids, and her heart broke. Amen. And she said, boy, I love the bus ministry. I said, ain't this great? When you're winning little boys and girls to the Lord and baptizing them, I said, isn't this great? But I had to make a decision. Let me tell you, that was my wife. I said, but I'm following God. But you know what's been, it's never been so sweeter. When I made the decision that you're first, God, and that's who Joshua was. He had the right spirit and the right heart in him. A leader has got to want what God wants. Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Amen. Do you delight to do the will of God? Or do you wrestle with it all the time? Or do you always have something else there? I don't know. This really sounds a lot more pleasing to do this than to do God's will for my life. I'll tell you, you're not going to make anything in yourself in God's eyes until you delight to do God's will for your life. And just do it. You can trust God.
Amen.
He's not like a man. He won't let you down.
Amen.
God will do what God says He's going to do. Amen. I can attest to that. He's taking care of us.
Yeah.
And He's giving us a ministry over here. And we're watching people get saved. Amen.
Yeah,
there's been 12 or 13 people saved since I've been here these 7 months. What's wonderful to watch God work. So I'm just telling you, you gotta want what God wants. Turn to Numbers chapter 14, verse 5. Numbers 14, verse 5. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear them not. Amen. You got to want what God wants, and you got to know. You know what you need to do? You need to fear God more than you need to fear that thing that God's telling you to do. Or the people, look, you can be fearful just getting up and preaching the Word of God or giving your testimony. But you need to fear God more if that's what He wants you to do. And Joshua and Caleb feared God, and they said, God said He's given us the land. All we need to do is go in and get it. Their defense is gone from them. God's already given us the land. That's good stuff, man. God's already given us the land. And you know what? We should be so broken when we see backsliders in the church. Do you see how broken they were? They rent their clothes.
Right.
Say, come on, man. What's the matter with you? God's given us this land. They ripped their clothes because they were upset that everybody wasn't getting on board. We should be so upset when somebody's backsliding. And do something about it. God's will is always good. We always have a good calling and a good commission from God. You know you have a good commission? You have a good calling, whatever God's called you to do. It's good. It's a good thing. Amen. You know, we ought to love what God loves, and we ought to hate what God hates.
Amen.
And you ought to want God's will for your life. That's as simple as that. Do you fear men or do you fear God? It'll make all the difference in every decision you make, who you fear. A leader must be ready to live by higher standards than his followers. Joshua was on the mountain when the Israelites made that golden calf. You remember? He was in the right place.
Amen.
Amen. The leader must be ready to live at higher standards, though. You know, John 2:15-17, you know what that, 1 John 2:15-17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Anybody love the things of the world? The love of the Father is what? Not in him. And isn't that stuff going to pass away? It's all going to pass away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need to keep ourselves clean. Okay? And the pastor is to be blameless, isn't he? Beyond reproach, he's to be blameless. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Amen. Well, verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Who else is supposed to be blameless? Every one of us is supposed to be blameless. Not just the pastor. Don't look at him and say, well, you're supposed to lead a blameless life. You're supposed to be holy. You're supposed to be pure. No, we're all supposed to be blameless. We're all supposed to be holy. Hey, you need to take that to the bank. We're supposed to be just like our pastor. We're supposed to be serving him and be just like him. A leader must be ready to live at higher standards than his followers. It doesn't matter what the people are doing under you. You need to live right. Give them an example, somebody they can look to who's living for God, and then help them as best you can. Amen? A leader cannot lead where he hasn't gone himself. I mean, Joshua had been in the battle. He'd served under Moses. He watched as Moses talked to God. You said he was standing outside the tabernacle. He saw his face glowing. He was there. He saw it. And he could tell others. Hey, have you ever mopped any floors or done any dishes or cleaned any toilets like somebody set up here? If you're not faithful in these little things, how do you think you're going to do the big things? God's not going to use you if you can't lower yourself to do the things that are needed, no matter what it is in the church. You know, I'll tell you something that bothers me. Is as soon as maybe the meetings break up or, you know, I don't know, I'm just thinking of different places I've been and watch teenagers immediately run out and just, they don't help at all. They don't want to do nothing. They don't want back in the kitchen. They weren't cleaning off tables. Hey, who are you? You any better than me? I was 15 once and 17, and I like running around the grass, just running and running around. But you know what? God wants some servants. You might as well get serious about it now. Because if you're ever going to serve God, you better get serious about it now. And do the little things. Do whatever your pastor asks you to do. But you know what? You can do it without being asked. Instead of just running outside right away and start kicking, grabbing, and pinching each other, why don't you go do something that's needed to be done around here? I don't think that's so bad. I think that's good preaching, too. I think they need to hear that. Well, a leader can't lead where he hasn't gone himself. And Joshua had been there. And look, you can't tell somebody how to win souls unless you're out winning souls.
Right.
You can preach all you want. But if the walk ain't matching the talk, it just doesn't matter. It don't mean anything. You better be a soul winner if you're going to try to teach somebody else how to be a soul winner. You better be in your Bible if you're going to tell somebody else how to read their Bible and study their Bible. And you better be prayerful. If you're going to tell somebody, you need to pray, and you don't pray a lick. You know, like I said, I ran cranes for 34 years, did rigging work, hung off of hangers, out of boats and chairs. And when you take a guy that's just coming in, a rigger helper, 20 years old, up to the top of the hangar, a couple hundred feet, and you show him the ropes and the lines and the blocks and say, you're going to get in that chair and you're going to hook yourself in and you're going to lower yourself down this hangar, you ought to see the look on their face. Well, you know what? You got to get in there first and you got to show them, hey, look, you can trust this gear. It's okay. You're all right. Look, you can play around and show them. And finally, he'll see confidence in you. He'll see the confidence. He'll get confidence from your confidence. It's okay, buddy. And you get them in the chair and they feel comfortable. Hey, who's going to teach them how to run a crane? A doctor? He can't run a crane. A crane operator will show him how to run a crane. You got to be there. You're going to have to do. A leader's got to lead. And he has had to been there and done these things before he can help somebody. Number two, Joshua followed the right leader. Turn to Deuteronomy 34. Joshua followed the right leader. Deuteronomy 34. I'm sorry. Deuteronomy 34 and in verse 10. It says, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, and all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. You know what? Moses was a great leader.
Yes, sir.
Well, I wouldn't mind following a Moses. Who are you following? You know, who are you following? Are you following the people out there? You following the movie stars and all the music gurus out there? Or are you following your pastor? You know, it's hard work to be a pastor. It's heart-wrenching, tough, hard work. And you know what? He deserves to be followed. If he's following God. You know, that's what Paul said. He said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. You know, Paul was simply saying, I'm following the Lord. Follow me and watch. Follow me and watch. Let me just read this to you in Philippians 4:9. He says, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Hey, can you say that? I'll tell you what. Can you say that to somebody else? Everything you've learned about me, I've taught you, and you've seen in me, do it. That's a leader. That's a leader who's following God, and he feels very comfortable telling whoever to follow me. You can follow me. You can follow me because I'm following God. Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9. Paul said, follow me and watch. You need to be able to say that. You know, Raymond Barber is an evangelist over in the States. He said, the most effective leadership is that which says, watch me rather than just hear me. I'm telling you, a picture's worth 1,000 words. If you see somebody serving God, you can follow him. He was following the right leader. He was following Moses. Moses was a man of action. Not just preaching what is right, but living it. Moses was a great leader, and he was vital in Joshua's success. Joshua was following the right man, God's man. If you think you're a leader, and you're going along, and you think you're leading, and nobody's following you, you might just be taking a walk. You might not be going anywhere, but just taking a walk. Nobody's following you. You're not a good leader. If you're a real leader, somebody's going to be following you. Moses had, what, 2 million people following him? And he had Joshua there, too. And he was watching. So we need to realize that we have people following us. If you're married here, you got a wife and kid. Wife and kids are following you. Somebody's following you. Maybe you're a big brother and you got a little brother.
Yeah.
I don't know. But somebody's watching you. Somebody's following you. Moses encouraged and strengthened Joshua. Those verses you read already, Deuteronomy 1:38, Deuteronomy 3:28, he encouraged them. And he strengthened Joshua. And leaders need to encourage those who they can see that God has laid his hand on. Those who are spirit-filled. Those that are desiring to be trained. We need to encourage them and strengthen them. Carefully train them to lead. So keep your eyes out for Joshua's pastors. Keep your eyes out, because this is where the leaders are going to come from in your churches. That's where they're going to come from. They are not cookie cutters out of some Bible college in the States. They're made right here in the churches. Right here, the men in this room, you know, when you guys were up here singing, I saw 13 or 14 guys that could change Ireland.
Amen.
They could really change Ireland.
Amen.
Because you know your people, and you're changed. Why don't you go tell somebody else? Just mark it down right now. God, unless you shut the door, I'm going.
Heaven.
God can shut the door as well as open it. But just mark it down and say, I'm going to do something for God. And if he wants you to be a crane operator, he'll shut the door on that other thing and make you a Christian crane operator. I don't know. But mark it down first. I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to do whatever he wants me to do. Joshua's greatest encouragement, though, came from God. In Joshua chapter 1, look in verse 5. Joshua chapter 1 and in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There's Joshua's encouragement from God. And let me tell you something. You get the same thing every time you read your Bible. He may as well just say it right in your ear. God's talking to you from the Word of God. He's saying the same thing. Didn't he say, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world? Didn't he say that?
Yes.
Well, he spoke to us too, didn't he? The same way, even in the New Testament. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Didn't he tell us, be strong in the Lord in Ephesians 6:10? Didn't he say the same thing to us? Be strong in the Lord. He's telling us here to Joshua, through Joshua. He also tells us in our New Testament, if you're just a New Testament reader, you'll still find it. God's still speaking to the church, you know. He's telling us the same thing, to be strong in the Lord. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. What is 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Same verse. Study the book.
Amen.
Rightly divide the truth. You'll have good success. 2 Timothy 3:16, same thing. Have not I commanded thee, verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's the same thing. It's all through the book. It's not just to Joshua. It's to us too. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Joshua's greatest encouragement came from God. And that's where your encouragement needs to come from. You need to know him personally. If you're not saved here today, you can know him personally.
Yeah.
I have a personal relationship with God. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Amen.
Leaders need to be seeking God. Those whom God is selecting for leadership. In Deuteronomy 34:9, it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded. You know, God's leaders should have wisdom, and you can have wisdom. You know what wisdom is? It's just simply applying this book to your life. That's all it is. It's the application of biblical knowledge. What does God say? I'm going to live it. The problem is most of us are just hearers and not doers of the Word of God. But if you do what God says, you will have wisdom. That's what wisdom is. You'll watch. You'll see God work in your life. He'll do it. Great leaders always start out as great followers. Even those in leadership now are still followers. At least they should be. You should be a follower of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, be followers of me, dear children. Are you a follower of men? You need to be careful. Follow your pastor as he follows God. But be careful not to trust in the flesh. Don't trust in man, and don't put your confidence in man. You're following your pastor because he's following God. But don't put your confidence in man. You put your confidence in God. And certainly don't follow yourself. Write down Philippians 3:4 and read it later. But don't follow yourself. Because you could lead yourself right off a cliff by following ourselves. And you know what? We do that. We think we're smarter than God. We follow ourselves a lot. I know God says this, but it doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to go this way. And you go the wrong way, because it's not God's way. Joshua, number 3, Joshua was teachable, and he was obedient. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 24. says that Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto them and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the other name of the other was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. You know, Joshua was teachable. And you need to be teachable, because Moses just taught him a lesson.
Yeah.
Joshua was taught a lesson by Moses, and the first thing was that God's not a respecter of persons. God can put a spirit on anybody he wants. These other two weren't with the 70, but they still got the spirit of God, and they began to prophesy. And Joshua should have just kept his mouth shut. So he taught him a lesson. God's not a respecter of persons, and don't be too quick to judge.
Yeah.
You better have the facts first. And let me give you a little hint. You can never judge a man's heart. You can't do it. You can't judge a man's motives. So don't do it. You can only judge actions, what you see, or the words of their mouth. But you can't judge a man's heart. That's for God to do. So leave it with him. Keep you out of a lot of trouble and a lot of scrapes. Amen. And check your motives before opening your mouth. Because Joshua opened his mouth too quick. He should have just kept his mouth shut. Mark 9:40 says, For he that is not against us is on our part. Be careful of those that might not be of our stripe but are still winning souls. Leave it with God. No, we're not going to partake of their meetings and partake of their music and all that other stuff. They're winning souls. If they're winning souls, leave them alone. Just let them do their thing. I'm not a part of that, but I'm not going to constantly be slamming them if they're winning souls. I'll just keep my mouth shut. It's not for me. Let God deal with it. He can do a better job of it. Joshua must have listened intently to all that Moses was commanded. Look in Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. I want to get through this. Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. It says again there, As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 23, So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions, by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Simply, Joshua must have listened intently to all that Moses commanded, and was commanded by God. Joshua obeyed completely when he was told what to do. You know, that defeated Ai was simply, I just believe it was more of not trusting or depending on God. He just never consulted with God. And he should have.
Yeah.
He should have prayed, consulted with God, and depended on God, just like he did at Jericho. But he fell at Ai because he didn't trust God. He didn't come to God and pray to God. Joshua didn't go halfway. He left nothing undone. Turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 1 says, And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.
Yeah.
For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which were taken. Let me tell you, they would have taken a lot more fishes if they'd have listened to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yep. He told them to take their nets and let them down for a draught, didn't he? How many nets did they let down? They lost some souls, didn't they? They tried to do God's work in their own power. In fact, he tried to tell God, look, I already know I'm a fisherman. And I've toiled all night. I know how to catch fish. And there's nothing out there. It's all cleaned up. The dragger's already cleaned it all out. There's no fish out there. And Jesus said, go let down the nets for a draught. And they only let down one net. They didn't do it God's way. And they lost some fishes. They lost some souls. Just do it God's way. Don't try to think of any new thing, new ways. You got to go one-on-one. You got to talk to people and you got to preach the gospel. It's the same way. It's not going to change. It works. That's how you got saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Didn't somebody come up to you and tell you how to be saved? Yeah. Tell you what the gospel was? That's how I got saved. Yeah. A Baptist preacher told me that I needed to get saved, that I was going to hell. And that's how I got saved. It works, doesn't it?
Amen.
Then let's not change it. Let's not go halfway. Let's just do it God's way. And make sure you depend upon God. Peter wasn't dependent upon God. He was going to do it his own way. To not obey completely is disobedience, by the way. God tells you to do something, you only go halfway. That's disobedience. God told you to do something, and you didn't do it. Don't say, I just did a little bit of it. How would you like your kids to just do a little bit of what you say? Oh, it's so wonderful. Thank you so much for just listening to me a little bit. Is that what you want your kids to do? No. Joshua obeyed God's way all the way. How about you? Has God told you to do something? You still haven't got it done? You're still waiting for something to happen? Number four, Joshua made the right choices. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua made the right choices. We get flying through this one. I don't think I can do it any better than Brother Layton did it. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. I like that. In sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which are your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua made the right choice. He chose blessing and not cursing. Joshua warned others to fear God. We ought to do that in our own homes. Now tell your family members that they ought to fear God. And they ought to put away their idols. And maybe they're not putting them away because you haven't put away your idols yet. I don't know. But put away those idols. Joshua not only for himself and his family, but look, husbands, you're leading the home. You need to set the example.
Amen.
Brother Layton did a great job of that. Joshua chose to serve the Lord. Amen. Joshua chose to serve the Lord and not mammon. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it talks about if you can hold to the one, you despise the other. If you love the one, you hate the other. And how many times have you chosen to love something other than Jesus Christ? That means you hate Him. You never say you hate Him, but you're showing it by loving something other than Him. And by holding to something other than Jesus, you're saying, I despise you. So what are you going to do? You're going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon? You've got to make a decision. Joshua made the right choice. Simple as that. Joshua, number five, Joshua was a faithful servant. Let's just go to Joshua 1:1, I guess. Joshua 1:1. We'll just read one of these. Look at this verse of Scripture. I guess you all seen it, but hey, it was new to me. Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. That's where I wrote my Bible. It's okay to serve the servant.
Yeah.
It's okay to serve the servant. It says it right there. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. We're just all a bunch of servants, aren't we?
Amen.
Any kings around here? No, we're all just servants of God.
Amen.
I'm just serving a servant, you're serving a servant, and you're serving a servant.
Amen.
You're just serving. That's good, man. Joshua was a faithful servant. Joshua went up on the with Moses to the mount, and the elders stayed below. But he faithfully waited there on that mountain. And you know what? Time passed. And time did not make him abandon his leader for for the other cause.
Amen.
He stayed there. You know, time's got to pass. Oh, what was it say? I guess it was Brother Layton that said, you know, you come here for a while and then you leave. I hope that doesn't happen to me. I hope my spirit never changes about that. I hope my heart never changes about that. As far as I'm concerned, I'll just die in Ireland if they let me.
Amen.
If God's really going to have to move me. Hey, a lot of people didn't think I should be here, but I'm here.
Yeah.
People are getting saved. So who's in charge here, God or man? I just think God's in charge. Time did not make him abandon his leader. Joshua waited 40 days and 40 nights for Moses to come down. Now, what would cause you to abandon someone? Maybe your family, maybe friends or church, job, ministry. Time just passing by, maybe preaching ministry you have, maybe Sunday school class, maybe choir, soul winning. It's good to be faithful over the long haul. It's good to be faithful for a long time. Don't be a quitter. Just stay at it. Isaiah 40, 30, 31, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, won't they? A man with wings as eagles. You know the verse. Don't be a quitter. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right until the stars fall. Just keep doing right. You know what's right. I know what's right. Just keep doing it. Don't be a quitter. Don't be a quitter. Hey, I was a quitter a lot of my life, but I'm not a quitter now. I'm not going to be a quitter. The worst part of my life before I was saved was that somebody quit on me. Somebody abandoned me. They left me. They gave up. They threw in the towel. It hurt. It ripped my heart out. But then 6 months later, Jesus saved me.
Amen.
And the joy came back into my life.
Amen.
And he'll never leave me or forsake
Amen.
Me. And I am not going to be a quitter. I'm not quitting on anybody. Don't be a quitter. Be faithful. Fear did not move him. The fear of God kept him in his place.
Yeah.
Fear didn't move him off the mountain with the rumblings and the smoke and the fire on the mount. He could have got, I bet you it was a fearful place to be.
Yeah.
But fear kept him right where he was supposed to be. The fear of God. There was fire up there, man. It was fearful. God was up there meeting with Joshua's leader. And though I'm sure he was fearful, the fear of God kept him right where he's supposed to be. And the fear of God ought to keep you where you're supposed to be. He told Moses, he was told by Moses to fear the Lord in Deuteronomy 10:12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God and walk in his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Joshua 4:24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Hey, don't play games with God. Don't play games with God. Don't fear this world or anybody in it. Just fear God. Proverbs 3:7 says, Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 3:7. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And the last thing under that, Joshua was a faithful servant. The world didn't cause him to leave his place either. You know, down below there, after a while, the people began to play, didn't they? Joshua thought there was a war going on, but Moses knew they were down there playing.
Yeah.
And they were sculpting a golden calf, another idol they could worship. Joshua didn't know that. He didn't know what was going on down there, but he was in the right place, do you see? Hey, there was shelter down there. There was easy access to food. There was fellowship and fun down there and comfort. But he did not run away. He stayed on the mountain, and it kept him from getting involved in that stuff.
Amen.
And the man of God down there got involved in it.
That's good.
And but Joshua stayed in the right place. This is where God wanted him. And you see, stay clean from that.
Amen.
Just stay where you're supposed to be. In 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He just loved the world. And he left Paul. And anytime you run from God or his servants, pastors, his leaders, back to the world, you go down. You go down into sin, just like Jonah did when he went down into that ship. He went down into sin. And God's people and leaders are not doing right. Who do you stick with? You stick with God. You just stick with God. He'll never fail you, you see. Aaron was down there, and he was a leader. You don't stick with Aaron when he goes astray, do you? No, you stick with God. Always stick with God. Joshua was safe by being faithful and staying in his place. Joshua was a faithful servant. And lastly, Joshua was a man of faith. Joshua was a man of faith. Look at Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, In verse 1 it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus thou shalt do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall send up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." Hey, this was men of war. For men of war to walk around a city for 7 days and blow their trumpets took a lot of faith. It took a lot of faith. But Joshua was a man of faith. And to be the leader who tells the men of war to walk around the city 7 times took even more faith. How'd you like to be the one directing the show as you criticize your leader? But how'd you like to be the one directing the show? And you're getting your direction from God. And the people are looking at you like, what? We're going to do what? How do you want to do it, Pastor? You know, it takes a lot of faith to be the leader, to be the man in charge, the one calling the shots for the church. So look, whoever's leading you, hopefully they're in touch with God and they're being faithful to God. And sometimes you just have to get your faith from their faith. You just say, that's what God wants us to do. I'm just going to follow the man of God. It's hard to tell a bunch of guys, a bunch of warriors to walk around a city and just be quiet, and we're going to blow the trumpets, and the walls are going to fall down flat. Because if it doesn't work, he's going to look pretty stupid. But Joshua knew it was going to work. Joshua knew it was going to work. He'd seen God work before. He said he would give them into Joshua's hands, and Joshua had the ark with him. He knew God was with them. That's why he was able to say that. So sometimes our faith is really rooted in the vision of God's appointed leaders. Man's got a vision. Follow it. He's got a vision. Just stick with your pastor. Now look, let me just finish this up. We must be willing to train like Joshua in these areas. It's going to take hard work. You're going to have to work harder and longer. Noah put a lot of time in building the ark, didn't he? His family followed him. That was leadership. It took him a long time. Paul and Barnabas were finishers. Acts 12:25 says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry." No wonder the Holy Spirit called them and set them apart for mission work. They were finishers. It's hard work, but they finished. They fulfilled their ministry. It's time to take homework. Who you really are is what you are at home. Right? Like someone said, when the door shuts and you're in your house, your wife knows who you are.
Yeah.
She knows who you are. She's like the Holy Spirit in the home, isn't she? Yeah. The man who is husband and father is to be the leader first in his home. If you're saved, then you ought to be sanctifying yourself in your own home and then season the leadership that God's given you. Don't be a Mr. Milquetoast, as we say in the States. Be led around. You're supposed to seize that leadership. That's God-given leadership. It's a God-given responsibility and role that you're to have. And then you should do some heart work. The real effort should be to be put on personal relationship with God. Be a student of the Bible. Study it. Live it. And teach it. Meditate on it. Our first desire should be to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And finally, it's going to be some heat work. You'll get hurt as you train, you know. These will not be physical sprains and aches, but your heart will be broken.
That's right.
I've had my heart broken by some people, you know. They just didn't think that I should be doing what I was doing. Or for whatever reason, they just abandon you and they just break your heart. Mm-hmm. There's people that you pour your life into. And then they just leave. They just give up. That breaks your heart, doesn't it? But that's the way it is. It's going to get hot sometimes when you're teaching somebody or when you're at the top, and you'll feel all alone. You're going to suffer emotional ups and downs sometimes in the ministry, aren't you? You know it. You suffer emotional up and down, but you just pour your life into others. The leader's got to keep pressing on. What did Paul say? Philippians 3:14, "I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Hey, look, this is the forging of a leader. There's a greater goal than all this. There's a greater goal than everything that we've been talking about. The greatest goal is glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. for your word. Father, thank you for these truths. Thank you for helping me, Lord, just get through it. And Lord, I pray, Father, you'd use it in our lives. Please, Lord, there's Joshua's out here, and I pray you'd just really make them wrestle with this thing if they don't submit their lives to you, if they won't get right with you, and just bow before your throne and say, Lord, what's it going to be? Whatever you want. I pray, Father, that you just really cause them to wrestle with this thing in their heart, and I pray they just give up, surrender, and submit to you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.